you're entitled to. But the scripture says that the Lord says, and a man must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so there is self-denial. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto many different things that the Lord pictures there. And he said it is entered into with much tribulation, and every man presseth into it. In other words, the natural man, the natural desires of the flesh, the passions of the flesh must be subdued. It must be denied. And the world must be denied. And you must be crucified to the world in order to follow the Lord, to go in and out and to find pasture. If we would have fellowship with the Lord, if we would feed upon his doctrine, eat his flesh and drink his blood, we must live upon this doctrine that Jesus is the Son of God, that his humanity, that his body was made, that he might offer a sacrifice acceptable unto God, that we might be sanctified, that we might be justified, that we might receive pardoned, that we might receive adoption, be adopted into the family of God, in order for the church of God to be sanctified and set apart, in order for it to be justified before the law, the bar of a righteous judge, our heavenly Father, in order for us to receive pardon, we must confess that a ransom was paid, and the ransom was the life of the good shepherd. He gave his life for his sheep. He laid them down, he said. He says, I am the good shepherd, and because I am, I give my life for the sheep. For my sheep, they're the sheep that the Father has given him. There is a love there, beloved, a divine love that transcends the comprehension of the human mind. God in his infinite wisdom and mercy, in his wisdom, he gave the Son a sheepfold. He gave him a family. He gave him a bride. He gave him a temple. And he gave him people that he might, he said, my sheep are men, and that they might have fellowship one with another. And because the Father gave them to the Lord Jesus, he loved them. They are a treasure unto him because his Father gave them to him. And he loves the Father, and he always lives to do the Father's will. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. When he got ready to go back, he said, I go to my God and your God and to my Father and to your Father. He says, the Father loves me. I love the Father. The Father loves you, and I love you. And the sheep, I love him. It's a reciprocal thing, because the love of God comes from God. And he that's born of God loveth. And he that's begotten of God loveth him that is begotten of God. And so we see how that the very nature of the creature that's created of God is displayed in the love and the knowledge that is given him by his creator and by his maker. And so he says, I am the door. And he says, I am the door of the sheep. And not the sheepfold in this case, but the sheep. If the sheep, and this, of course, transcends the little local sheepfold, this speaks about his sheep everywhere. If any man, he said, by me goes in and out, he will find pasture. This is a correct entrance into the into heaven itself, into the very presence of the Father. If the Christianity among the other in the world religions, when people, philosophers and teachers in our universities, they get very upset when you get to talking about that Christ is the only way to heaven. And they say, but that's narrow-minded and bigoted, that the great multitudes are working their way up to heaven. And they liken it to an inverted pyramid. And he said that they say always lead to heaven, or lead to God, and each in his own way. But the Lord says that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. And that upsets people when you begin to talk like that. But beloved, if the Word of God is true, then we will have to preach what the Word of God says. And if he is the only mediator, if he is the only man that's been conceived by the Holy Ghost, he is the only man that's been born of a virgin, he is the only seed of the woman that was prophesied from the beginning, and he is the only God that's been incarnated in flesh, he's the only one, and therefore there is no other way. If he is the way, if he is the only way, if there's no other name given in heaven whereby men must be saved, then this is the only way. This is the way. This is the truth, and this is the life. And if we go in that way, then we find pasture. We go in. He says, if any man go in, he says, I am the door of the sheep. If any man go in and out by me, he shall find pasture. And he shall lie down. He shall find rest. He shall find peace. There's a peace in the soul that's been made by this good shepherd because he gave the life for the sheep. If he, in the giving of his life, purchased pardon for the sheep by the giving of his life, if he has justified us by the blood of Jesus before the throne of his righteous Father, if God recognizes his righteousness as the only righteousness suitable to him, the only holy one that ever lived and did not sin, and had no sin, and knew no sin, and did no sin, he said, the devil cometh, but he findeth nothing in me. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Think about it, beloved. Here's a man that lived and tread the shores of time for 33 and a half years, and the very thought of sin never entered into his mind. I mean, it was contrary to his nature. It was just contrary. It was foreign to him because he was holy. That holy thing that shall be born to thee shall be called the Son of God. And so he was holy. And therefore, the very thought of sinning against his heavenly Father was foreign to his nature. It was not. He could not sin because he was God incarnate. And therefore, when the devil came, the devil tempted him. But he found nothing in him. There was no lust in him. There was nothing for the devil to get a foothold, so to speak. He could not entice him to sin. There was nothing there. No lust there at all in that holy body that he could be led astray. And so he says, I am the door. And if any man come in, he says, I am the door by me. If any man, this shows us that the sheep here are men. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and cleaveth, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Didn't say that the wolf would kill them and eat them, but scattereth them. It's impossible for the Lord's sheep to perish in an eternal sense. They could certainly perish in a local, sensitive sense. They can be, they could lose their fellowship with the Lord, but they cannot lose their relationship. When a person is quickened and born again, it's impossible to be unborn. When the Lord quickens one of his sheep, they are forever his. As a matter of fact, they are sheep before they're even quickened. In the eternal counsels of the Godhood, the sheep are His from all eternity because they have been given Him. But they are lost sheep. When Adam sinned, those that the Father gave Christ that were in Adam actually fell when Adam fell. And so they come into this world with a sinful nature. And therefore, they are lost. And they are dead in trespasses and sin. And so the Lord, knowing His own, He visits them. He calls them. And He quickens them. And He translates them from a dead state of sin into a newness of life. He takes out the hard and the stony heart. The hard and the stony heart, beloved, is a heart that has no feeling towards God. It's hard and stony, and it does not seek after God. The wicked, through the pride of thy countenance, will not seek after God. The heart that is dead in trespasses and sin, it is alive to sin, but it is dead to God and to His righteousness. And it has no affection for God. The scripture says that the natural mind is enmity with God. In other words, it resents the authority of God. Can't we see that in the world today? When anybody speaks about truth, about righteousness, about it's wrong, certain lifestyles are wrong, and they say, well, you are bigoted, you have a phobia. Who are you to say that my lifestyle is wrong? I have my rights. And we can see how perfectly the scriptures describe the human heart that demands to be its own God and says, I will not have this man to rule over me. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And His sheep are manifested, beloved, because they are separate from the world in that sense. They recognize that they are sheep, and a sheep don't have no weapons. He's a harmless. I mean, he don't have no weapons to attack with. They are easily preyed upon by the carnivorous wolves of this world. But nevertheless, they have a good shepherd. And the good shepherd leaveth the 99 and finds the one that is lost. And he lays him on his shoulder and brings him back safe within the fold. He doesn't even send somebody else. He does it himself. He says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring also. And the good shepherd, beloved, finds his sheep. Just as God knew them from all eternity, the Father, and gave them to the Son. And it said it's engraven. They're engraven in the palm of His hands. Just as the high priest, when he went in once a year with the blood of a little lamb that he had slaughtered out and off burnt the meat on the altar before the tabernacle. And he took the blood and went inside within the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood in front of the Ark of the Covenant, wherein was the Ten Commandments and the holy manna in the golden pot and the rod, the staff of Aaron's rod that budded, which portrayed Jesus Christ, the man of God, the Son of God, because he had kept the commandments of God. And they had not been broken as we broke them. And the first set of commandments was given to Moses was broken. But God with His finger wrote them again. And those were placed whole within the Ark of the Covenant covered with the mercy seat. And Jesus Christ became into this world that He might manifest that the law of His Heavenly Father was holy, just, and good. And He kept it in every jot and in every tittle. He satisfied its demand. The law demands death for transgression. And there's no exception. And so He died. He met the full demand of the law of God. And so He died. He gave His life for His sheep. And after He had done that, the law has no more claim upon Him. He has satisfied it in the fullest sense of the word. He has met every demand of the law. He lived a life and did not sin. He did not transgress the law of God. And then he died. He gave his life vicariously in the place of his sheep, that day he might pay the ransom of their transgressions. And it's been imputed to them. His righteousness has been imputed to them. Their sins were imputed to him. And therefore he was made sin. He gladly went. They didn't drag him to the cross. They didn't beat him to the cross. He went on his own free will to the cross. He went like a sheep to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He was dumb before his shearers. And when his own disciples rebuked him and said he shouldn't go, he said, "The cup that the Father hath given thee, shall I not drink it? Shall I not satisfy the demands of my heavenly Father? The Father loveth me because I give my life for the sheep," he says. "My Father loveth me because I'm going to fulfill his will and give my life for his sheep." It was necessary that the justice of God be satisfied. God is love, but God is holy. And he's so holy, beloved, he can't condone sin. It must be paid for. And Jesus says, "I'll pay the price. Lay their sins on my back." And they stripped his back. He stripped off his robe and they laid the whip on his back. He says, "I'll pay the price." And he paid it, beloved. And it was a dear price he paid. Not only did he offer that holy body, but his soul was made a sacrifice also. In one place he said, "My soul is sorrowful unto death." My soul is sorrowful unto death. Have you ever been so sorrowful that you would weep and you felt like you couldn't find no comfort? Well, beloved, he had a sorrow that we know nothing about. His soul was sorrowful unto death. His soul was made a sacrifice as well as that holy body. The body was holy, and it's the only one that's ever been in this world like it. And therefore, beloved, it's highly to be prized. It's highly to be praised and adored, because a body has he prepared me. The psalmist said 1,000 years before it took place, he said, "The blood of bulls and goats thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me." And he did it, beloved. A virgin conceived. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive," the prophet said, and she did. The angel come and said, "Highly, thou highly beloved, Mary," for he says, "the shadow of the Most High, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bring forth the child, a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And so Mary conceived, and she brought forth the son, and she called his name Jesus, and he saved his people from their sins. He didn't try to do it. He's not trying to do it. He did just exactly what the scripture said he would do. He paid the ransom price, and he justified each and every one of his sheep who know his voice. And he said, "They shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast them out." They know him. They follow him. He knows them. And he says, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand." And so we are said to be in the hand of the Son and in the hand of the Father, and the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, is the agent that carries out the covenant. He knows exactly. The Lord said that everyone that's born of the Spirit of God is everyone. It's impossible to enter into the kingdom of heaven except you be born again. And he said, as the wind blows where it listeth and where it pleases, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. And so, beloved, it would be impossible. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not pass away. It would be impossible for one of his sheep to perish. It's a great, many say, when they say that you must believe on Jesus, and Jesus says that except a man believe on me, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, and that I am the only way. And they say, many people think that you must have the gospel preached to you personally, and that you must make a decision concerning Christ before you can enter the kingdom of heaven, because of the scriptures that speak of the local invisible church and him as their pastor, as their good shepherd. But beloved, he illustrated how that men know him before they know or hear the gospel, or before they know him as a Savior. Nathanael was one of them, wasn't he? He was under the fig tree. Philip came and called Nathanael and said, "Come, we have found him who Moses wrote about, Jesus, and that prophet that Moses wrote about." And he says, "He's Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And he said, "Come and see." And when he was coming to him, the Lord said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael said, "How knowest thou me?" He said, "Whilst I was under the fig tree, I saw thee." And Nathanael immediately said, "My Lord and my God, thou art the King of Israel." So Nathanael had worshipped God under the fig tree. He believed in the Messiah. The Jews believe in the Messiah. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, but he is. As touching the gospel, they are blinded. They are enemies of the gospel, the Apostle Paul said, who knew the law. And he said, they are enemies of the gospel. Well, the gospel is that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the gospel. In order to be a member in the gospel church, you must confess that, to have fellowship and to go in and out. In the sheepfold, to have fellowship, you must know that Jesus is the Son of God. The Jews do not confess that as a nation. They're outside of the fold as long as they do that. But yet they believe in the Messiah. I'm talking about that godly element among the Jewish nation that worships God and that's looking for the Messiah, and that's praying for him to come and go over that wailing wall, and they're looking for their Messiah to come. Well, he's come, but as touching the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved of the Father's sake. So God has a sheep that's in this world that know him. They know the Messiah. They know the Son of God, but they don't know Jesus, the Son of God. This blind man, he knew Jesus, didn't he? He knew him as Jesus. But he didn't know him as the Son of God until God revealed himself to him. Jesus went and found him, and here we have a picture of what the church is. Jesus went and found him when he was cast out of man's religion, when he was cast out of ritualism, when he was cast out of what the world calls religion, and he was praising this Jesus, all he knew him to be. He said, "This I worship the Son of God." He said, "Who is he? Where is he, Lord? Who is he?" He said, "Jesus is the Son of God." He said, "I believe," and he worshiped him. That's what constitutes the church, beloved, today. That's the wedding garment that we must have on, that we see that Jesus is our righteousness. And without that, we have no righteousness. Without that, we have no right into the local, visible church, because our fellowship is built around that. Peter said, when the Lord asked him who he was, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." That doesn't come through natural generation. Your mother and father might be a believer, beloved, but that don't make you a believer in that sense. They might teach you their religion, but man must say from the heart that comes from heaven, "Jesus is the Son of God. I believe it." But I don't care what the world thinks about it, and I don't care how much they ridicule it. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They'll stand up like the blind man done and say, "Well, this is a wonderful thing here. Who ever heard of such a thing? Whoever's experienced the voice of the Lord in their own soul and been able and blessed to pray to the Lord of heaven. And how can you explain that to somebody that's never done that? You can't do it. You just can't explain it. The sheep know his voice and they hear it. They know him and they follow him and they trust. He said, all that come before me are thieves and robbers. That is, and he's not talking about the prophets of the Lord that the Lord sent. He's talking about those that claim to be, in a sense, like Christ. Anybody that come before Christ and claim to have some part like of what Christ performed. In other words, Christ is our salvation. And if a man comes teaching you to do this and do that and do this for your salvation, he's robbing God of his rightful position. Christ is the only way. He paid the ransom price. He's the good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. And if any man tells you that you can go through a certain ritual or be baptized or do this or do that for salvation, he is robbing God of his rightful worship and place in the church of God. And he has no right there. He has no right there. You must confess. And Jesus told Peter, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's the door to the sheepfold. He's the door to the sheep, the way to the Father, and he's the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. And he knows them, they know him, and they'll never perish. They'll never perish. In a local visible church, there are situations where God's people might lose their fellowship. You can live in such a way to be excluded from the church because it brings reproach upon the church. And we are commanded not to fellowship people that live in such a way that they would bring a reproach upon the name of our church, of our Savior and his church. So it's possible to lose your fellowship, to lose this privilege of going in and out and finding pasture. But it is impossible to lose your position as a sheep in the fold of God. May God add his blessings to his precious word and lead us in the way everlasting is our prayer. We publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more here today that believes in your heart that Jesus is the good shepherd and the only shepherd, and he is the Savior of his sheep, and you would love to publicly confess that and follow his instructions to be baptized as a picture that you do believe that the good shepherd died and rose again, and that we were dead in trespasses and sins and have risen in newness of life, like to follow our Lord. When we come up out of the baptismal waters, we are saying that I want to follow Jesus. I believe he died in my room instead. He suffered for my sins. And I want to honor him and serve him and worship with his dear people here in the world. We'll give you that privilege while we assemble together. Let's sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Page 69. We publish the doors of the church open. And we'll strike the glad hands of fellowship as we sing. Sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now
Thank you. Thank you.